Beyond the Sermon, episode 20.
This is a no-edit podcast.
I don't think we ought to edit this one. So we are here.
The Bat Cave, baby.
Of North River Church.
Podcast
Heaven.
Podcast Heaven.
There's no table this time.
There's no table, and we are sitting in squeaky leather chairs, so if you hear some movement, that's Scotty. There he is. All right, guys. It has been not too long, just a couple of weeks, right?
It's been a minute.
It's been a little bit since we did the podcast, but we are back due to people
extremely popular demand.
Absolutely craving Beyond the Sermon.
That's right.
I mean, we're good for once a month.
We're there.
So, and let me say right off the bat, we are sponsored this week by Butterfields,
yes.
Which is where the three of us ate lunch today.
Preach up!
Butterfields and Haribo Gummy Bears. Is it Haribo? We were having that conversation while you were setting everything up, Scotty.
Hmm.
I've always called it Haribo, but there's not two O's. There's only one O.
For your Haribo.
That's good. So I'm assuming none of us speak German, and I think it's a German company from what Adam said. So Haribo? I don't know. If you know the answer to that, would you...
It's got a glottal in it.
Does it?
Haribo.
That's good. So if you know the answer to that, we will give you...
A gummy bear.
If you'll let us know exactly how you're supposed to pronounce it. Now, you must not look it up on Wikipedia.
That's right.
All right, don't do that.
Don't call the 800 number and ask them.
That's it. Don't do that.
Let me Google that for you.
Yes. If you Google and you tell us you have the answer and you lie and tell us you didn't Google, God will get you.
That's right.
He knows what's going on. All right, guys. So we are back after a few weeks off from the podcast, and so it's good to see you guys.
Now, was that our mystery word for the day? How do you say it?
That was it.
I thought you were going to say Hammurabi. Isn't that
Hammurabi?
The ape that died or something?
I was actually thinking that earlier. Yeah. Harambe? Is that it?
That may have been it.
All right,
that sounded Harambe. So good when you said it.
It did, right?
Yeah, much better than when I said it. That's good. So sitting here with my good buddies, fellow staff members, guys extraordinaire, Scotty the Body Curlin, worship and discipleship pastor at North River Church.
Right.
Let's go, buddy.
You know, video killed the radio star.
And, video killed the radio
star. That's why this is a podcast and not a video.
There you go. That makes a lot of sense.
Speaking of that, you shared a
great story with us about being spied on while you were swimming laps with the pool in the neighborhood. Is that true?
That is true.
True story with no shirt on.
It was very scary.
Yeah.
If my picture ends up on the River Plantation Facebook page, somebody's in trouble.
It will go viral. I promise you. It will go viral. We'll show that on Sunday morning. Scott legitimately asked today whether or not flip-flops were allowed on stage to lead worship.
It's a big question.
Is it?
I mean,
yeah.
WWJD. I mean, my man would be in flip-flops, you know what I'm saying?
Jesus would be in flip-flops. There you go. Oh, wow. That's good. Speaking of that...
you said we're editing this, right?
Let me turn this conversation a little super spiritual, right?
Right.
So when I was spending time with the Lord this morning...
Nice, Jesus.
That was good. You like that? So I was reading... as in the end of Deuteronomy, where Moses is telling the people what God's done in their lives and was reminding them of the fact that they spent 40 years in the wilderness and their clothes did not give out and neither did their shoes. So, Bud, if you can find some sandals like that,
right?
You're legit. That'll work.
Do they have running shoes that lasted that long?
No, I think
that'd be pretty awesome.
I was going to say, I hear you get about 400 miles.
400 to 500, yeah.
Yeah. So,
a month or two for you? Is that?
Yeah, speed man Reed. Speaking of that, I introduced Scotty. I didn't introduce Adam. Adam Reed, family pastor of North River Church.
Running machine.
I was hiding.
You were. Actually, he was chowing down on gummy bears.
I just kept interrupting is all it was.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So, how many miles are we up to these days?
We're running.
We're running. That's good.
Yeah, he's running. I run on Duncan. I don't know about you.
Run on Duncan. Duncan and Duncan.
Ran this morning, though.
I did run this morning.
Getting ready for the bridge run?
No, I'm not getting ready for the bridge run. But I did mention in the sermon yesterday, I'm trying to get my mileage pace down a little bit.
Down?
Mileage pace.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you said your mileage base.
I've been trying to get my mileage base down for years.
I'm miles a week. I'm running. I need to get that down. Oh, man.
What was the thing I showed you guys the other day that was talking about... that heart disease and something else runs in my family because yes. No one runs in my family.
Oh, man.
Yes, I did run this morning, put in 3 miles. I will not share what the pace was because it was pretty slow.
I heard it was 7:11. That's what I heard.
7 miles in 11 minutes? That'd have been quick, bud. So I'd have been running like, who was it in the Old Testament? They ran so fast. Elisha or Elijah?
That's right.
Remember, they ran between cities?
Yeah.
That? Was that not?
They were booking.
I think that's a thing, right?
Is that? That's the gospel according to Kennedy?
Guy that ran the first marathon?
No.
All right, people.
People, look it up. Look it up. Look it up.
While you're Googling Harambe.
That's right.
I think you're getting confused between the Bible and like Greek literature.
No. If you will look it up, one of the prophets, I believe it was either Elijah or Elisha, ran between cities and outran somebody riding a horse or something. I can't remember exactly, but it's that something like
that.
That
sounds like a thing.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
You know, Megan's running the Fort Hamer Bridge 10K. And
ooh,
she's quite nervous.
Her game up.
Right? Yeah, she's got a half marathon too coming up. Yeah, she don't play.
Wow.
Baby girl don't play.
And, she's like a Kmart radio.
She's a little bit nervous because, you know, the bridge isn't opening for cars until like September the 23rd or something.
Right.
Almost a month later than the run, and she's thinking, can we really run on this thing if it's not ready for a month to drive on? So we'll find out. Stay tuned. I told her if she just runs in snorkel gear, I mean, you know, she'll be good.
I was just going to ask if you paid her life insurance. Is it up to date?
Ooh, I need to check on that.
Yeah, we're going to. That'd be good. So, well, we are here to talk. We kicked off a couple of weeks ago a new series through the book of James. And so we worked through chapter 1, verses 19 through 27 in a message titled Hearers and Doers. And that's a mouthful if you try to put that together. That's the reason I didn't say it but once on Sunday. I was like, I'm going to mess this up, man. There's no
way.
That's
hilarious.
But I gave a formula. So, Scotty, do you remember the formula? Without looking at your notes, that's called cheating. Oh, man.
I just saw it.
Okay, you want to share?
I will. Hearing plus doing equals authentic Christian living.
Nice.
Come on.
Very good.
I mean, I was reading it, but...
That's good. I like that.
Oh, man.
So we did talk about hearing God's word and doing God's word. And we were looking Sunday morning at James's admonition that we should not be hearers only, but we should be doers of the word. But we have to have both parts of that. And that's the reason why it's hearing plus doing. Mm. Did you get that, Scotty, Sunday
hearing,
morning?
So it's plus. Hearing plus.
Plus doing. Yeah. So you need both.
That's right. That's right.
To have authentic Christian living, right?
I like it.
Good. So we talked about hearing in the sense of us hearing God's word. We talked about in several different ways. Certainly one Sunday morning when we gather to worship and we hear God's word as it's preached, as it's taught. So that's one way that we hear God's word. We talked again about life groups, which we want to encourage every single person who comes to North River Church to take the step beyond just coming on Sunday mornings to getting plugged in to a life group, because the likelihood of someone coming on Sunday morning and just plugging in and worship and staying around for an extended period of time in terms of years at North River Church is usually slim based on what we've seen in statistics. And so we want to get people plugged into our life groups. But that's another opportunity for people to hear God's word and to study it and to apply it to their lives and encourage one another in discussion through God's word. Then we talked about just personal time in God's word individually. And so anything that stuck out to you guys from the message, Adam? and put you on the spot real quick.
Yeah.
I know you listened to the message this morning. Was it at 1.5 speed?
It was 1.5.
Sweet.
He's booking it, man.
Yeah.
That's good. I like it. 1.5
speed. So you talk a lot faster when I listen to
it. There we go. That's it. And then when you get here, you're like, would you spit it out?
Come on. Speed up. Come on.
Come on. Yeah. Time. Like, come on.
Wouldn't it be amazing if you could actually put that on someone?
Yeah, dude.
Like if they're talking to you and you could just press like, a button.
Hold on a second. I'm going to hurry.
Whoa. Hang on. 1.5 speed.
Yeah.
So that'd be pretty good.
Bump it up to double time and be done.
Hey. Oh, wow. Faster. That would be good.
They talk like a chipmunk, but you know.
Yeah. Could you imagine Janet Banks at 1.5 speed?
Dude.
Janet's our secretary, if you didn't know that. Janet awesome. At 1.5 speed.
This is actually a test to see if she listens
to
the
podcast. I bet she doesn't, so we can drop.
She'll never know.
That's it. So anything about hearing that stuck out to you guys from the text there?
Well, I mean, I loved when you talked about James qualifying God's word by saying, you know, the implanted word, you know, that Christ in us is the starting point. If we don't have Christ in us, it doesn't do us any good. What we hear, what we think we hear from Scripture, we have to start from the foundation of Christ being alive in our hearts. So I thought that was a great foundation for us.
Absolutely. Good. Adam, anything?
Yeah, I always like this passage. James 1:22 is probably one of my favorite verses of just be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Just that, again, that idea that the Bible isn't meant to just be read and studied and to just sit around and collect a bunch of information, but it's actually to help us be able to hear from God, hear what God wants to say to us and how he wants us to live out this Christian life and live out this life and to actually be an example for him. And so just that idea of, you know, not just consuming, but actually giving and living it out as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the passages that stuck out to my mind, I didn't mention it Sunday morning, but just sitting here talking with you guys about it, that kind of popped up in my head and hearing God's word is Psalm 1, where it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Mm-hmm. Talking about the implanted word. Listen to this. Talking about one who delights in God's word and meditates on it. "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers." Mm-hmm. So when the word is implanted within us, there's an expectation that it produces fruit in our lives. And so if the word's never implanted, certainly Christ at the moment of salvation, but through our lives as believers, making certain that we're spending time in God's word, both corporately as we gather for worship, in small groups as we gather throughout the week, and then also just personally day in and day out, it's going to take that being true in our lives for the fruit to be evident that God wants to bring. And so I just some practical steps. I mentioned some of them, but I figured I would let folks know as well. Just corporate worship, when we talk about gathering together on Sundays, you know, I think oftentimes we in our families can minimize the importance of that, and yet gosh, every time that we have an opportunity to sit and to hear God's word, I think we do well to sit and hear God's word. And so I think it's important for all of us, for our families, for those that are called North River Church home, to be there for public worship, to be there as we gather together and study God's word. And then I think, you know, that doesn't just happen by accident. You know, we meet at 9:30, so you got to make plans to be there. You just practically, maybe you need to lay your kids' clothes out beforehand. You need to set your alarm, right?
Right. Yeah. How many alarms do you set on Sunday morning?
But I'm a I'd get up.
Are you a one-alarm kind of guy?
Well, yeah, but I get up at 6 regardless of what's going on typically. So
my whole life, I've always been so worried about waking up.
That you were
going
to miss it?
Always. No lie, dude. I set 3 alarms on my iPhone, 1 on my iPad, 1 on Megan's phone, another one that plugs into the wall, not counting a reminder that goes off. I'm always so worried I'm going to sleep through my alarms.
Did they all go off at the same time?
No, I spread them out. I have a very strategic plan there with my alarms.
Our bedroom, for whatever reason, I guess the air conditioner is so far away from it that it's typically warmer in our bedroom than it is in the rest of the house.
Right.
And so we leave our bedroom door open when we sleep at night. And I have my coffee pot set to go off at a certain time.
Nice.
And so I'll hear it going, working, you know.
Best part.
Making God's nectar for us. You know what I mean? Bringing that to bear. And so I typically, my alarm never goes off. I just get up when I hear that.
That's awesome.
Go ahead and cut the alarm off. So
I hear you.
Anyway, I don't even remember what we were talking about.
Sorry.
Thanks, Scott.
Making preparations.
Yeah. So making a plan. You know, the question for us should never be, are we going to worship on Sunday mornings? It should be a given in the life of a believer. Pretty clear in the New Testament that there's an expectation that we gather for worship. The writer of Hebrews tells us not to forsake assembling together. And so make those plans, make it a priority on the front end, and we'll be able to see the results of that as people come in and worship, hear God's word, and I think it'd be good. So I think corporately, that's certainly a step somebody could take. Jumping into a life group, Scotty.
Yeah,
I know we got signups coming up over the next few weeks together, and all somebody has to do is sign on the dotted line.
That's it.
Right?
That's
just
it.
Sign up.
Just sign your life away. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
So we'll have opportunities for people to sign up both in the worship services for the next 4 Sundays, as well as online. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really excited about this coming season of life group ministry. We've already got at least. Let me tell you, at least three new groups,
awesome.
Brand new groups, and maybe even a 4th or a 5th one should we need it.
Awesome.
So I'm really excited to see what God does through our life group ministry.
All right, so pretend that I'm new to North River Church.
Come on.
And I have a phobia of people.
Right, right.
You know?
Well.
What would you say to me?
Yeah. You see my wheels turning about how can make this really funny
right now. Yeah.
No, I will say this. I will say this. And I've been in a number of groups. I know y'all have over the years. And there really is, there's not much that's more encouraging and refreshing than being with Christian brothers and sisters, studying God's word, building those friendships, that fellowship. In terms of the phobia, I mean, if I wear deodorant, you know, that helps some, right?
Yeah.
And we encourage that.
I did make it a point to say Sunday morning that most people don't bide in life groups.
That's right. That's right. So most people. No, truthfully, you know, all of our life group leaders, I mean, we entrust them to lead well, to build those relationships. None of them, to my knowledge, put anyone on the spot and embarrass anyone. It's a very, it's laid back, it's fun, it's casual, but it's also important because it's building that fellowship that we need. And it's also encouraging discipleship in all of our North River families. And so it's a great place to gather and to learn God's word together.
That's good. And then I think just personally in our own lives, as we spend time in God's word, again, we hear it, we read it for ourselves, begin to understand, and with the Spirit of God living within us, illuminates the text, helps us to understand and apply it to our lives. And so I would encourage somebody, if they're looking, how do they start reading the Bible? I get that question several times. Michael, I just don't know where to start. And I would encourage, if you're listening, you're a part of North River Church, just start reading in the book of James. What we're covering now, what we will cover over the next few weeks. There are great Bible reading plans out there. And so I want to encourage you to spend time personally in God's word and hear from Him. And I think one of the things that happens the more time we spend in God's word, and I think this may give us a clear picture of what the motivation is when we think about living out or doing God's word, what we hear. When we spend time in God's word, both corporately in small group settings, and also personally in our lives, we get to see truly who God is. Mm-hmm. And we get to behold his glory. We get to see how magnificent he is. And we become infatuated with him. Mm-hmm. And so living out what he tells us to do is not something that we have to try to motivate ourselves to do, or something that we have to do because it's our duty. But when we're absolutely enamored with who Jesus is, we are going to do what he calls us to do. It's just a natural outflow of recognizing who God is and what he's done in our life to live out what he's called us to do, what his word tells us. And so I would say that oftentimes the issue is not us doing it, because we think that, well, I got to pick myself up by my own bootstraps. I've got to do this. It's a responsibility. It's a duty. And yet the scripture talks about us doing what God calls us to do as a delight. And it's a delight because of we're delighting in the fact of who he is and what he's done and what he's called us to do. So we talked about hearing God's word, plus, that'd be a plus sign, right? Plus. And then doing. And James talks about that beginning in verse 22, where he says to be doers of the word, Adam, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And I think that's such a key thing for us, that it's so easy to spend a Christian life deceiving ourselves, thinking that all God wants from us is for us to know things. And I've met, sadly, people in church that know a lot about the Bible, and it hasn't done a whole lot in their lives. Mm-hmm. I don't think the issue is God's word. I think the issue is that they've never actually put it into practice.
Right.
And that's a sad place to be. That's a spot of deceiving ourselves to do that. So,
well, I always think too about, you know, I remember being in school, and anytime you learn something at school, because the teacher had taught you something, all of a sudden you were responsible for that.
Yeah.
You know, like there's the responsibility of like, I've taught it to you, so now you're responsible for knowing this for the test or whatever. Not that God is going to give us some big test at the end, but the idea again of when we come to God's word, when we see something, when God reveals something to us, that's what it talks about when we looking intently into the perfect law of liberty, like here, like when we look into the Bible and see that, we're then responsible for living that out before God, because he has shown us that and he has helped us to see that, because the ultimate goal, I think, as you mentioned before, was that we become more and more like him each and every day through that sanctification process.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's helpful too to think just about the reality of if we put into practice what we already know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And certainly not in any way saying, you know, we don't need to learn and we don't need to grow and we don't need to hear more. But if we just put into practice what we already know, how much that would transform the way that we live our lives and the environment in which we find ourselves. And, you know, I was thinking about it specifically with the part at the end where he talks about bridling the tongue. I mean, I think that's just such a easy place to look, you know, what's coming out of our mouths. You know, is it something that's going to encourage someone else? Is it something that's going to build someone else up? What's the tone that we're using? You know, when you're standing, let's all be honest, in the checkout line at Walmart, you know,
avoid that at all costs.
What do you say, right? How do you respond to that?
That's why you go through self-checkout.
Is that what it is? Or you just don't go to Walmart. That's the other option there. But yeah, I think it certainly is important for us to recognize and understand that just hearing God's word is not where it ends, but it translates from there into us putting it into practice. And so I think if we're not careful, we can get really good at hearing God's word and really bad at not doing anything with what we hear, you know? I had a pastor say one time that he said the problem sometimes in church is we have a lot of people that sit and they soak mm-hmm. in God's word, and then they sit and soak for so long that they sour. He said a lot of churches are filled with people that have sat and soaked and soured mm-hmm. Instead of sitting and soaking and then walking away and doing something with what we've heard. So, that's good. Any other thoughts from the text there?
You already alluded to this, I think, but you know, you ask a question that I thought was just very to the point of the message and something that we all need to consider, which is, if you know what God's word says, has it transformed the way you live? Hmm. You know, and that's something, when you said that yesterday, I thought, you know, man, that's a place to stop and pause and reflect and ask God, you know, to help, you know, take what he has taught through his word over the years, even like you said, I mean, and truly transform how we live. Yeah. And I think so much of living the Christian life is balance. You know, we talk about faith and works, we talk about grace and truth, we talk about like hearing and doing, and like, you know, that's the perfect perfect illustration of just, you know, we can easily land on one side or the other, and it truly takes both to live where God has called us to live.
Yeah, and let's unpack that for just a second, and because if you hear but you don't do, mm-hmm. You're essentially sitting in a theological ivory tower,
right?
Becoming fat-headed.
Right.
Is that good? Can I say that on the podcast?
I like
that.
Yeah, right? So, it's your podcast. That's this right. is actually sponsored by Fathead.
That's good. And,
get
and
Pastor Michael.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
Can we, someone who loves the podcast and loves North River Church should put together some bobbleheads. Some yes. North River bobbleheads of the three of us.
Yes.
Would that be amazing or what? I would put a Pastor Adam bobblehead in my office.
Dude, absolutely.
That'd be good.
That's awesome.
Anyway, sorry. So hearing but not doing, mm-hmm. Fathead, that's not very good.
That's right.
Or doing but not hearing mm-hmm. Is someone who's frantically trying to do something for God but has no idea who God is or what his heart is.
Yeah. Right.
And those two extremes are pretty scary, you know, when you boil it down. So,
you mentioned yesterday the whole aspect of Facebook and social media, and you know, especially nowadays, if somebody is very much a hearer, maybe needs to work on their doing. We oftentimes see that laid out on Facebook, and mm-hmm. that's something we all have to be careful of. Is, you know, are we arguing for the sake of arguing? Are we truly trying to reach souls with the gospel?
Yeah,
I thought that was a really good point yesterday.
So let me ask this question, because I have been reading a book called 12 Ways. I think it's 12 Ways Your Phone's Killing You, by Tony Reinke. Hmm. Which has been a really, really good book. But he was talking about that very, very thing with social media and just the dangers inherent in it. And I think oftentimes we don't see those because we're so enraptured with what's going on in social media land and all those types of things. So, but anyway, I was reading his book this morning and just, you know, once again reminded of how easy it is to be self-centered and self-focused, and that's a dangerous spot to be in social media. And so we certainly know what pride does in people's lives, and I think one of the biggest pictures of that is in social media. Mm-hmm. And so that's a, you know, caused me to just pause and think, man, what do I want? Why am I on there? You know, and what purpose does it serve? How are we leveraging it for the gospel, as you said? So, real quick, I know we're pushing up against time. We're getting about to the 30-minute mark, aren't we?
Yeah, we're doing good.
So, I did want to bring up one of the things that I mentioned at the end of religion that's pure and undefiled is visiting orphans and widows, keeping oneself unstained from the world, and talked about just the reality of speaking up and serving and loving those who are not able to do that for themselves, not able to speak for themselves, and brought up just something that's going on in our country over the weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia. And if you don't know about that, just log on and type Charlottesville, Virginia, and you'll see the craziness. Mm-hmm. But it is our responsibility as believers, and we talk about hearing God's word and doing it, living it out, to call out racism as we see it. Not only on the news, I think it's easy in the news to look and to, you know, talk about social media, to tweet, you know, or post something and say something about that. But you know, when we look and when we see it happen in our own circles, in our own lives, and that we as a church family, as individual believers, are willing to stand up and call sin sin in that area. So I think that's what it means for us to care for, to speak out for those who have been oppressed, who have not oftentimes had a voice to be able to speak out for themselves. So, any thoughts on that?
No, I mean, I think I was reading actually a post that came across on my Facebook feed earlier today about the kind of situation there, and just talking about how one of the biggest problems I think that we have a lot of times is just the fact that we just don't speak up and speak out. And, you know, it's easy to speak up and speak out about, you know, what happened over the weekend with this tragedy there, but how many times do we hear something in the workplace or just throughout our daily lives that would be a racist remark or something like that, some sign of racism, and we don't say anything?
Yeah.
You know, that's as much of a tragedy as, you know, as what happened this past weekend, because it is our responsibility to speak up and stand up for those who, you know, a lot of times don't have that voice or have that opportunity to defend themselves.
Absolutely. I think for this episode, guys, that's about it. Thanks so much for hanging out around the podcast mic and podcast heaven. And we will see you on the next episode of Beyond the
Sun. See you in a month.
That's it.